Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. How's everyone doing today? Good. You guys enjoying Build?
Yeah.
All right. Well, my name is James Olenek, and I'm here to talk to you about three different types of products today. One is Power Apps, the other is Microsoft Flow, and the other is the Common Data Service. Now, who here has actually heard of Power Apps? Keep your hand raised if you build a Power App. Keep your hand raised if you built more than one. We have a winner in the back there, sir. Cool. So what we're going to do today is we're actually going to build a Power App. And so what is Power Apps? Power Apps is a way of building line of business applications, you know, anyone within an enterprise to build apps and do so without writing code, without, you know, writing, being a pro developer, getting in the nitty-gritty of code. And Microsoft Flow, on the flip side of that, is a way of automating the workflows from an enterprise point of view. And all of this runs on top of our connectors and gateways platform, which has 100-plus connectors to cloud and on-prem data sources, both to have business data and third-party data sources. And so it enables people to build apps and build workflows and connect to their data where it lives today. Okay? And the Common Data Service is our data platform. It's your ability to have a common database within our service where you can store your data, you can leverage it just like SQL, and it's tightly integrated within Power Apps and Flow. And all of this is relevant both to you if you're an enterprise developer, or if you're a partner in ISV and you want to build solutions for your customers or distribute them on AppSource. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But let's get into actually building an app. All right. So, duplicate. All right, cool. So, all right. Well, we're here right now. This is the Power App Studio. And you say, hey, it kind of looks like PowerPoint, where you used to have the slides over here, you have screens. And this is a visual editor for building an app. And the app we're going to build today is a mobile app, and it's a Twitter client. Okay? And the first thing you have to understand about Power Apps is you first have to connect it and build a connection to the data you want to work off. So today, we're actually going to, like I said, build a Twitter connection. And so I'm going to add a connection using my Twitter handle, JOlenek, to my Twitter account. And then we're going to start building our app. So as I jump through this, I'm going to go fast so we build this. But try to, you know, just try to keep up and catch the salient points. The first thing you can do is you can draw visual and drop visual items within the canvas here. You can drag and drop them. And as you see here, it's a visual editor. As you build the app, you get a preview right here. And we're going to see when you pull data in, it gives you a preview of what the app would look like right here when you share it out. Now, we at Power Apps, we're a big fan of the purple. So not a fan of the blue. So I have this on my other screen here. So let's grab this color. And you can see here that through a property of this control, I can change the background color to be purple. We used to have a kind of plum type of color, which I love, but then marketing got involved, and now it's like the Visual Studio purple. Not a fan personally. So we have our header bar here. We'll pull a label down in here. Oh, actually, let's not do that. Let's actually pull in a text input control, which is what we're going to use to actually have our search text for querying and searching Twitter for tweets. Okay, we're going to name this control here the search box. Okay, and we're not going to have it have any default text. And as you can see here, I do want you to see how the formulas here are going to be very reminiscent of Excel and working with data in here. And it's the exact same language of manipulating formulas and doing functional programming that you can do in Excel, but it's in a graphical way, and it gives you an idea of how you can build the app along the way. So this is your search text here. I'm a bad typer. And then we have to have a way of refreshing the data. And then we're going to bind it to the actual data and make a query. So let's just pull in the reload icon here. Let's make this white so it looks good. And what you can see here is you have eventing on these controls. So whenever I select or someone selects this icon, we can have an event be triggered. Right? And specifically what we're going to do is we're going to create a local storage called local tweets, which pulls in data, if I can type it, which is going to pull in data from that connection to my Twitter account that we binded into the app earlier. So what we can do here, there's a search tweet function where I can enter a search query. And what I'm going to do is I have that search box control. And I can bind this to be the text that's entered into that search box control. And then today we're going to pull in 100 records for this app. And there you go. So whenever I click this icon here within this experience, it's going to pull in data from the Twitter connection. Looks like I did something wrong. See here. I did the age-old mistake of forgetting to put in a query. And then we'll run our query. And then we'll go to a collections here, and we can see local tweets within the app has now pulled in data from Twitter. You can see some of the builds that people have done against MS Build today. And now that's available within the app. But now we need to visualize that. And so we're going to pull in what we call a gallery control into the app. All right, and a gallery control is a way of visualizing multiple different items that all have the same schema. So essentially rows in a table. And so what we're going to do here is we're going to bind this to that local tweets, and we're going to sort it such that we see the most recent tweets right now. And right away, it's bound to the data, but it doesn't look very good because we did a bad job of matching the schema. So we need to go through and actually create the experience that we want for the app. So what we're going to do here is that this is supposed to be the profile image. So I'm going to set this to be the profile image of the user. Okay? Just like that. The app is compiled. You get a preview as you build it. This, instead of showing the date, which is great, instead, let's have that be the user's full name, who tweeted it out. And then let's concatenate this with their Twitter handle. You can see here, these functions are very Excel-like. They give you that flexibility to build and do the manipulation that you need. All right. There you go. Cool. Now, let's bring our text box up here. We want this to look a little bit better. So right now it's a text. Let's bind it to a date. And then let's use our text function here to make it formatted in a short date time. Great. And then let's pull that up. And you can see here you can drag and drop within this interface. Things snap as they would within a PowerPoint presentation. You can get a visual look and feel. But it's all bound to data behind the scenes. This is our image control, and we'll get to that in a minute. But what I want to do next is I want to insert an HTML text because, as you've probably already deduced, we're missing where do I actually show the tweet text here. So that's bound to the tweet text function. Text is a little too big here. And we also have a property of this control to be auto height, so it automatically snaps because you can have different length of tweets. So I'm going to set that to be true. And there you go. Now, some tweets have images in them, and that is actually in a property that the connector returns as media URLs, which is a table. So what we have to do is we have to actually pop off the first one, okay, just through the first function. And lastly, we want this image control to sit right underneath the text box. So what we're going to do here is we're going to set this to be, we're going to set this to be relative, positioning relative to other controls. So I'm going to set this to be the Y of the HTML text control plus the height. Now, if I was doing a good job, I would rename these to be very, you know, descriptive names, but, you know, I don't have the time. It's a demo. And the last thing we need to do is we need to actually set the height of this control to be based off of the size of the image. And as you can see, some tweets don't actually have an image to come along with them. So how do we handle that? Well, first we set calculate original dimensions, which is a property that when you bind the data, it determines and sets the control to whatever the height of that property is. And if there's not an image, it won't actually have a height. And so if we set this to true, we can then go to the height of the control, which is right now just static, and we can make this be a conditional variable. So we can add an if condition here that if the image control that we have, if the original height, which is what was calculated when the app runs, is greater than zero, then we can actually set this image to be a height. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to use the ratio of its original height and width, and then we're going to scale that based off a minimum of either the image's original height or 500 pixels, whichever is most. And if the original height is zero or less than zero, we're gonna set it to be zero, okay? And now, let's just get a real preview here of what our app looks like that we built here. You can see here, well, Darshan just did a post to me bending over, looking good. And you can see here that it handles if there's apps, if there's not apps, Satya's looking good here. And you can see here, it's a full-fledged app. I can go and I can change this here. Oops. And by the way, this is just in the editor itself. You know, it's actually, you can see it's refreshed. This is both build and Power Apps. It's actually running against the query, pulling it against the Twitter connector, and binding it into the app right now. But you probably already thought, hey, how do I actually tweet something out, right? And to do that, we actually add a text input similar to the search box here. And what we can do is pull that in. We'll pull in a button too. And first of all, you know I keep harping on it, but the purple's got to be there. So let's bind that to purple. And let's change the button text to be tweeting this out. Okay. And we don't want this to have any text to begin with, but for completeness purposes, let's add hint text. You know, your tweet here. There you go. And secondly, we don't want you to be able to tweet out something that's just, you know, doesn't have any text by accident. So the buttons have a property called disabled. So we can set this that if the actual text input that we just added here, if the length of that text, if it's greater than zero, okay, then let's have it not be disabled, okay? But if there is text that's added here, you can see here, then the button gets disabled, and you can see how that works right now. And then, finally, you saw the onSelect function of the icon we created earlier. We, again, I can bring you back to the Twitter connector, that if I click the tweet button, I can actually tweet out whatever text that I've entered in right now. And what I'll do that here is I'll say text input 4, and I'll bind that to the text that is entered in here. And what this is gonna do is whenever I click this button, it'll take whatever text I've entered into this control and tweet it out using the connection that I've already created with my Twitter handle. So it's gonna tweet it out on my account, okay? And you know, let's fingers crossed everyone for the demo gods, and let's hope we have good connectivity. But, oops. Let's just tweet this out. There you go. Hopefully it went out there. I might have gotten throttled. Oops. And if not, it was definitely the demo gods. Nope, demo gods bit me. All right, cool. So the next part of the demo that I wanted to show is, if I save this really quick, is how this looks is the fact that Power Apps is a cross-platform solution. So. Oh, it did go up? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I just not wait long enough? Oh, there you go. Hey, it worked. There you go. Ah, come on. It's the end of the day. Give me some credit. The lights are hot under here. I mean, come on. All right. The other thing I want to show is the fact that these apps that are built, we're a cross-platform service. We have players that are on Windows, Windows Phone, iOS, Android, and on the web. So the apps that you build on our platform, and you can share out within your organization, and people can run them on whatever device they have. And let's see here, so just to show you I'm not playing around, here's my iPhone here. So the same text, or, sorry, not text, the same tweet that I just tweeted out right here, it's running here right on my phone, just like that. And we, through our platform, you can share out the apps that you build with anyone within your organization through our experience today. Right? And you can see how I was able to build this in just a couple minutes and think about if you can pull in multiple different connectors together, you can build mashups, you can build this on your business data, share it out very quickly. All right. All right, getting back. Now I want to bring us, back to an actual business scenario. And it's a little bit, contrived, but bear with me. So what we have here is a new screen that I've set up ahead of time. right? And it's a similar type of client, but let's assume that we have a scenario where within your company, you have an internal message board that people can post to, similar to Twitter, but it's managed, right? That there's actually someone that has to approve or can take down posts that have been posted by people, right? And so to do this, I'm pulling in the common data service. So what I've done here is within my account here, within my environment that I built this app, I actually have an instance of the common data service, a database that's created here. And what I've done is I've created an entity which is just a table, right? Same thing we do in SQL, called message board posts. And what I actually did this morning was I loaded up this table, and you can see here that I customized it. This is a custom table. It has some of the tweet text. And just for today's demo, I preloaded it with some data that I had pulled. And by the way, I did this just through Power Apps. I built a Power App that just pulled in data and wrote it directly into the common data service. I just pulled in some sample data into this. But you can think of this, put on the hat of someone who is in a company. These are internal posts, right? Now, getting back to our app, what I've done is I've added that table as a data source within the application. And just like we bound the gallery control to the Twitter search, hey, Frank. I've done the same for this gallery in the second screen. And so the items here are actually based off the message board post table and entity. And the biggest change between the client that we build in Twitter and the one we're building on the common data service is this has an additional column around approval status, right? And so each of these, I've shown it here just for the demo of what the current status was, but you can envision a world where if something's been denied or it's pending state, you could filter it out of the gallery when you actually have the client. So how this actually gets approved, we're gonna pull in the power of Microsoft Flow. So when I run this client and say that, you know, I wanna make like a new post from me here, and I posted this and it adds it as a row into the common data service, and you can see here it's showing, this post is first, it's in a pending state, right? But now we need to have an approval process that someone who's an administrator or a moderator of the message board can actually approve this such that it can go out. Or you can think of this being a retroactive thing. So to do this, I've actually set up a flow in Microsoft Flow, and just flow.microsoft.com, same account. I have access to it by having access to Power Apps, and I have an approval flow here. And what I did here, and Flow is a way of instrumenting and automating those workflows in your everyday life. And flows are all about triggers, conditions, and actions. So when a new record is created in the common data service entity that I created, and you can see here that I bound it to the message board post entity I created, it takes a series of actions. And that's every time a row is added to the entity. And in this case, I decided to start an approval flow. So you can start an approval flow and assign it to someone, that moderator. Right now, I've sent it to myself for the demo. And you can include here, and you can add this custom. You can add whatever values from that common data service entity you want. And here, I've included the tweet text, such that they can review it. And based off their response, which is either approve or deny, I update the approval status of the record appropriately. And so the question is like, you know, I added a new record to the common data service, it kicked off an approval flow, and I hopefully, if the demo worked here, I can go over to the approvals tab, and because I assigned this approval to me, I now have a new approval that shows up for me, for that new post that I made. And you can see it here, this was just a minute ago, and I can go ahead and I can add some comments here, and I can approve this. And if all goes well, the flow is going to continue, and if we go back to that flow, based on my approval or denial, it actually goes and updates that record within the common data service. So if everything goes well within the demo, and I go back here, and I were to refresh, we notice that I should have approved it, and you can see that it showed up right there, right? And again, this is a simple example, but you can see here how for an enterprise, you can leverage this common data layer to store the data that you need to light up those scenarios. And it's a way of extending the data that already exists, either in Dynamics or Office, because those you can use those connectors and connect to directly. But then you can extend that having the common data model or even use it as your own storage mechanism as I've done here. Okay? Now, in my last couple of seconds here, that's the end of the demo, so you can clap now. All right. Thank you. That was pretty good. All right, cool. Now, in the 0 seconds I have left, I want to talk about a couple things. First off, if you want to go try out PowerApps or Flow or Common Data Service, all you have to do is go to the community plan that we have just launched today and get started for free today. And you can go and you can start building and start seeing the different solutions that you have and start looking for ways to solve those with PowerApps, Microsoft Flow, and the Common Data Service. So please go check it out, go try it out for yourselves, and give us your feedback. And then the second thing is we still have some remaining sessions. So Jono has a set, or is it Jono at 5? Yeah, it's Jono at 5, so right after this, has a session to go in a little bit deeper, specifically around the Microsoft Common Data Service, but also talking about the other products. So if you want to see more or see a little bit more in depth around the roadmap, just check out his service right his session right after this. And we also have a couple of Friday sessions as well. But if you've already used PowerApps today or you're interested in learning a little bit more, we have a roundtable tomorrow with the product group, so you can meet one-on-one with me, Darshan, or Frank. So sign up, and you can meet us, right? And if you have any questions, either shout them out, or we'll be right here afterwards, and you can come on by. We also have a booth that's right behind the Azure Logic Apps and in the Cloud Platform section. So I think we're going to be kicked out of here in about 10 minutes. Sorry, research too. No. Yeah. Anyway, thank you for coming. Yeah, we're closing about 10 minutes, but come if you have questions, come talk to us, and thank you very much.